Dak Prescott, the poise that he has shown, the fourth round pick, has been what stood out to me. To his left, end zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott?
I mean, what a game. What a way to finish the game out. The first half was just scary. It was hard to watch. You didn't see the Dallas Cowboy run game that you were used to. But they found a way. They kept plugging away. They finished the fight. Dustin Bourque here with the Stars Aligned show. Chris is going to be here momentarily. But man, I mean, this was another slugfest, man. I mean, the Steelers were a tough team. The Ravens are a tough team too. And you know, I challenge anybody to tell me that this wasn't an earned win, that this wasn't, you know, this wasn't one of those signature wins of the season where you remember it, you know, and there's a lot of moments throughout a season in NFL, NBA, every NHL, I don't care what you follow, MLB, there are moments throughout the season that I see as documentary moments, meaning I see them as those moments in that championship DVD that you buy that recaps the season, and then you got that, you know, you got the Hollywood actor narrating the whole thing, and you know, and on second down, Ezekiel Elliott hurdles a defender and shoots energy back into the Dallas Cowboy offense. That moment, I believe, was when everything shifted for the Cowboys. I think they hung around first half. You know, it was a 10-10 ball game. I think that's the Jason Garrett way. I was pissed off. There was 8 seconds left to go in the first half. And what did they do? In true Jason Garrett fashion, they decided to kick a field goal. When I I'm the type of guy that thinks if you're that close to the end zone, 8 seconds is enough to get a playoff. Now, I understand what most people will say. Most people will say that, well, when you're that close to the end zone, you know, the play tends to break down and then you scramble and then 8 seconds might pass and then you're screwed and then there's no points on the board. So I understand that aspect of it. I understand that you needed points. You needed to at least tie the game going into the half with the Ravens getting the ball coming out of the half. I get all that. My whole thing is if you have designed plays, a post play, something that's going to go to the end zone, a flag to the outside end zone. So if it's not a catch, it just drops to the ground harmlessly, no interception potential, nothing. And there's probably still 3 seconds left on the clock after you run that play. But whatever. You know, this isn't the time to bitch and complain about it. You know, we are right now, we're playing great. We've got the longest win streak of the NFL right now. And I mean, I think Chris would want me to play this. I'm still waiting for him.
You did one hell of a job. And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
So, I mean, that's the, you know, the notorious Jimmy Johnson clip that Chris will try to play at least 7 times throughout an episode broadcast. And so, hey, it was a hell of a game. I can't believe it. I personally, listen, I was down and out. You know, I thought, well, what's going on? Why are we struggling so much? Because even though the Ravens had the number one defense against the run, I had confidence in our offensive line. You know, I thought the Packers had the first ranked defense against the run when we played them, and everybody saw what we did to them. So you can keep playing the first ranked defense against the run, and who cares? You gash them up, and then now they're no longer the first ranked defense against the run, and then bring on the next first ranked defense against the run. You keep plugging away. You keep just knocking down that number one ranked defense. Look what happened. You know, that first half, it was rough. It was rough to watch. It reminded me of game one where Zeke was just diving into piles of bodies and he wasn't bouncing it out. And so we know that he's matured and we know that that's not really what happened, but it had that same feel to it. You know, he just, every hole was clogged in that first half and it wasn't good. But, you know, guys like Skip Bayless have come out and said that this was going to be a tough game for Dak because this would be one of the first games that all of the pressure to win this game would fall heavily on Dak's shoulders. And this is, you know, first game after the Romo thing, which we're going to get to in a minute. But the first game since Romo has said, you know what, Dak's the guy. I don't want to be a distraction. We're rolling with him. So Dak came out, and what did he do? He put the team on his back. You know, before the field goal, he had a couple scrambles where he was picking up some major yardage. So I just think it was a hell of a win against a sleeping giant of a team. I call them that because they always seem to be in the thick of things. They're very rarely not playing for, you know, a playoff spot late in the season. They're usually always in it. Yeah, they've had some off seasons. But usually the Ravens are one hell of a club. And I don't care what anybody says, Harbaughs are great coaches, John and Jim. And I hope Jim gets back into the league because I really love watching those guys just dominate coaching. And I think John's a hell of a coach. I think he had his team prepared. I think they decided they were going to put a ton of pressure on us and they were going to make Dak grow up and find out if he truly is better than just a fourth-round rookie out of Mississippi State. And I think he did decide that, you know, I think he did it. I think he passed the tests. You know, I think that he proved, you know, listen, guys, I'm not a scrub. And I think that that was loud and clear. If you, for some reason, don't think that he has lived up to the hype, I don't know what you're watching. You know, I don't know if you're not watching the same stuff that everybody else is watching, but I mean, Dak's coming up big, man. Excuse me. We're talking over 300 yards again, you know, and he's doing a great job with all of the pressure. And I don't know if it's a different makeup. I don't know if it's a different type breed of player, but you know, we all saw how much Tony struggled at the beginning with being the guy of one of the most influential sports franchises in the world. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are very popular. So to come in and be that guy and really just shine, it says a lot. Now, I understand a lot of people are saying, well, you know, supporting cast. But, you know, I mean, come on, man. He's playing lights out. He's playing like this is – every game is the Super Bowl. That's how he's playing. He's leading these guys down the field. He's doing things that you really just don't expect out of a rookie. And I just think that – I put it this way, how can you not consider Dak as an MVP candidate, right? You got everybody saying that it's Tom Brady. How are you going to let a guy who was just suspended for being shady as fuck be an MVP candidate, but yet a guy who is taking the league by storm, maybe not statistically, but it is very obvious what he's doing for the Cowboys organization with wins. So you're going to tell me we're going to give consideration to a guy who's notoriously been labeled a cheater? Really? You want to know who the other candidate is? Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, what did you just do last week? You lost to another garbage team. So how in the world is Matt Ryan and Tom Brady leading in the MVP candidate race? I understand that everybody is saying that it's pretty much a shoo-in that Dak or Zeke's going to get rookie of the year, but MVP is where it's at. MVP is the highest individual accolade you could possibly get. So in my opinion, Dak and Zeke should be first in line for MVP, should be first in line for rookie of the year. I think Dak and Zeke, quite frankly, I think they've got everything locked up. Now, I don't know if they're going to hold anything against these guys because, you know, personally, if I had to pick one or the other, I think that Dak should have MVP, and he should probably run the table. I think he should have MVP and rookie of the year. Now, I think that Zeke has done more for the team, giving us that unbelievable run, but I personally think that it's a quarterback award, and we've argued about this on our other shows, how there should almost be like an offensive player of the year award, or just hell, a quarterback of the year award, so you can let MVP be what it's truly meant to be, that most valuable player of the team, because there might be players on the team that are not the quarterback that are the most valuable player of the team. So Chris is finally with us. I opened up, I recapped the game a little bit. I talked about how, you know, it was a miserable first half. I didn't like how they went for the field goal with 8 seconds left instead of taking a shot into the end zone. I talked about how I thought this entire game changed with one hurdle, and that was when Zeke hurdled the Ravens player, and it seemed like the entire stadium got a shot of life. And then from that moment on, Zeke hurdling that guy, we marched down, and it was just kind of like no turning back from that moment on. But currently I'm talking about MVP, rookie of the year, who should get it. I personally think it's a joke that anybody's even mentioning a guy who cheats for MVP. So I don't think Tom Brady should be in the discussion. And I think if you're going to really tell me that the next guy up is Matt Ryan, a guy who just shit his pants against one of our terrible division rivals last week when he had a chance to win the game, that's not an MVP. So I just don't see, Chris, I don't see any competition for Dak Prescott for MVP right now, even though technically I think the true MVP is Ezekiel Elliott.
Jay Cutler for MVP, first of all. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm here. Sorry, I have family in from out of town, and we got sort of tied up. And then I called into the show, and it was like, oh, 15 minutes until start time. And I was like, okay. And then I went out and time slipped away, but I'm here, I'm calling, we're talking Cowboys, and I was sort of hearing what you were saying, and you know, I'm with it. It's been a tough week for me, obviously. Romo, the speech, the press conference that he gave, which was classy, which was above all else, showed what kind
of
we're
gonna get
is.
We're gonna get to Romo next.
And
talk about
I know
that.
I'm just briefing here, and so showed what kind of human being he is. I thought in the beginning of this game, you know, Romo's words were, I refuse to let this be a distraction. But the media all week has been talking about Romo saying that. So the way Dak played the first half, I was sitting here thinking to myself, well, that's exactly what it was, a distraction. Romo should have kept his mouth shut. They were winning. Why fix what isn't broke? But I knew that this team had the number one overall defense overall in the league. But I know that the Ravens' offense is meh, shoddy. So I wasn't too concerned. I wasn't too worried. I knew that if we, you know, took care of the ball and used our opportunities and went to what works and has worked for us, we would probably get the job done against a team that averages, 14 points a game or something? I mean, Baltimore, they don't score. So we did that, exactly that. I don't think it started with the hurdle, honestly. I mean, yes, that was great. But you watch the second half, and honestly, I think it was the Dez pull down. Not necessarily the touchdown catch, but the first Dez catch that was of significant yards. Because you got him going in the game. You got people – and the Bryce Butler catch as well off the helmet. Because that showed, okay, all Dak had been doing all game long is dumping it off. Little slant patterns. Now they've extended it a little bit. Now they got to drop the safeties back. You notice that as soon as Dak started going deep, the run game started picking up for Dallas, because all they were doing is dumping it off and throwing slants. They had 8, 9, 10 guys in the box, and that's why the first half was rough. As soon as they broke that open, he hit Butler long, he hit Dez long, he started getting a couple of longer throws to Williams. All of a sudden, they have to push those safeties back, spread those linebackers back. And I think play calling, which we have bitched about on this show several times, was actually brilliant in the second half. And we'll get into that in a little bit too. But yes, I think Zeke is in the running for Offensive Player of the Year, possibly MVP. MVP almost always goes to a quarterback. So you know, I want you, honestly, Dustin, and I don't know if you can do it. I don't know if callers can do it. I don't know if anybody that doesn't live in the five New England states can do it. Anybody that lives in the five New England states can do it, because their mind is so clouded. But tell me a quarterback. Tell me somebody who is playing better production-wise than Dak Prescott right now in the NFL. Give me a quarterback that has had better numbers through 9 games. I mean, honestly, you're not going to find one other than Brady.
No, I don't really. So, and I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even say that Brady's had better numbers through it. He really hasn't, actually. If everybody wants to do the typical, you know, devil's advocate, New England Patriot thing, it's who's got the better record, right? So you can
right
say,
now we do.
Yeah, you can
say,
exactly. You can say one guy has statistically, you know, better numbers because he's got more touchdowns, but at the end of the day, you know, we got the better record. So very few times can you say that. But I'll throw that out there just to piss some people off. But it's pretty much a given that they're going to beat San Fran. So they'll still be one game behind. It really means jack. When you got a guy, when you got somebody playing in the other side of the conference, who gives a shit? You know, if we go on a 3-game losing streak and they don't, I really could care less. That's not going to ruin my, you know, that won't ruin my season, other than the 3-game losing streak would, you know, like, I don't give a shit what the Patriots do. I'm not watching the game right now. I won't watch it. I don't care about that franchise in any way, shape, or form.
That game's not even on for me. I have the Philly-Seattle game on here where I live in New York, but
yeah. I mean, let's talk about the fact that it just seems like these scrubs behind us won't go away. The Giants, the Eagles.
No, you know, I was really hoping the Bears. I turned the game on, and Bears are up 16-6. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Bears, you know, hold on. And then, if the Packers can somehow get their shit together and beat Washington today, and then obviously Seattle wins this game, I wanted every team in the division to lose. Obviously now the Giants have won. I don't see Philly beating Seattle, especially in Seattle. And then the Green Bay game is a toss-up. But, yeah, pesky, man. Pesky. I mean, they're keeping pace. I know that we're still 2 games ahead, but they're keeping pace, and it's like,
that's why
go
I'm saying,
away,
like,
all right?
Any other year, we would have clinched the division last week. We would have had a 5-game lead by now, because the Giants are dog shit. I don't care what anybody says. The New York Giants are absolute garbage. They beat us because of our own play. So it doesn't mean
by the
anything.
Bears today, and the Bears are atrocious. Okay.
I can't wait to play the Giants again. Put it that way. I am ecstatic for that game when it happens. I've always respected the Redskins and given the Giants and the Eagles absolutely no credit, because they are just trash. Trash franchises. They've always been. They never will be good. Not in my lifetime, I don't think. I just think I hate every single team that's in our division with a passion. But let's talk about a team not in our division. We got about 10 minutes left. The Denver Broncos, probably what, the leader to get Tony Romo after this season?
Them or Chicago, because they've already came out and said they're done with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
They just confirmed on Bleacher Report that Romo's going to have a lot of say where he gets traded to. So you think Tony Romo's moving his gorgeous
warm weather
family to Chicago and going to play
for that
dog shit franchise?
I didn't see that. Well, I didn't see that report yet. But
yeah, Jerry Jones did some posturing yesterday saying that he doesn't see Romo not being on the team in 2017. He says there's no reason budgetary-wise they have to move him because they have cap space besides paying him $20 million because Dak Prescott's playing for a free place to stay, basically.
Yeah,
so in reality, you know, they're just saying that he's going to be gone. And they're saying that they're going to do him the favor of allowing him to pick where he goes. So if I am Tony Romo, I'm looking at a team like the Denver Broncos, and I'm telling you right now, keep an eye out for the Houston Texans. They are in the opposite conference. He wouldn't have to leave Texas, probably wouldn't even have to move houses. And he could go to a team with a great head coach with unbelievable threats at the wide receiver position between Hopkins and Fuller. The speed on those guys is unreal. And now Lamar Miller at the running back position, who he might not be a DeMarco Murray, he might not be an Ezekiel Elliott, but he is an absolute lightning bolt. So he would go to a team, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt coming back from back surgery, hopefully 100%. He could be going to a Super Bowl contender in the Houston Texans. Now, most people say, well, how the hell is that going to happen when they just paid, whatever, $18 to $20 million to, what's his name, Ardalowski or whatever, the bust from Denver? Osweiler. So they just bought in on Osweiler. They gave him a big contract, but they can cut him, eat half of it, and still pay Romo whatever they need to pay Romo, and then get Romo in there. And it wouldn't be devastating to the cap space. I'm telling you, that is the best situation for him. He wouldn't have to leave.
That would be because it's only a 2-hour ride down to Houston.
He wouldn't have to do anything different.
Nothing different
other than a new playbook, new teammates. Everything would stay the same. It would be an incredible transition for him, and that would be unbelievable. I would be rooting for a Texas versus Texas Super Bowl. That would be
That with the weapons offensively, and then J.J. Watt comes back next year after this back surgery, but do you think that with the weapons they have offensively and defensively, and let's say that they draft a couple offensive linemen this year if that happens to protect him, the Texans all of a sudden become the team to beat in the AFC?
Dude, I'm telling you, you put a quarterback that knows what he's doing on the Houston Texans, and they are a hell of a freaking football club. They are a hell of a football club. They've got a 100-yard-a-game rusher back there who does it in his sleep, and they've got one of the most explosive, youngest wide receivers in the game in Hopkins. Nobody even knows about Fuller, but he's got speed like Mike Wallace and DeSean Jackson in their prime. So he could have one of the most explosive offenses and one of the best young coaches too, because O'Brien's a great coach. O'Brien's out of the Belichick tree of coaching. So O'Brien's a good coach. O'Brien needs a quarterback. I don't know if my problem is, Chris, I need to know how this ends with the Dallas Cowboys. Excuse me. I need to know if it's going to be a cut or a trade. Now, what Jerry Jones did two nights ago when he said, I'm not getting rid of Tony Romo, is he upped the trade value for Tony Romo. He basically said, you're going to have to work hard to pry Tony Romo out of my hands because I will pay him $20 million until he retires and be happy doing it. So he's showing he's going to take care of his guy. That, to me, is trade posturing. Now that you've done that, I don't see him cutting Romo. Because if I'm Romo and he cut me, I'm definitely going to the Texans, and I'd work for free. I'd work for free. I don't care. Obviously, he's not going to work for free, but I'd go there for, what, $5 a year or something? Give him something, just something easy to afford, because you know he's set for life. The amount of money, he got $100 million out of this club. Easy. So the amount of money he got out of the Cowboys, he doesn't need to be chasing a paycheck right now. That's not Peyton Manning right there asking for $25 million a year all the way up till he's 40. Or Brett Favre asking for a minimum $15 million.
Romo's taking more pay cuts than anybody else in the league. I mean, he is voluntarily taking pay cuts
and then getting paid under the table through his other businesses because they're shady motherfuckers over there in New England. So, I think the Texans are where it's at. Somebody said, Colin Cowherd said the Cardinals, for the love of God, please don't put them in Arizona. Granted, they're a great football team, but Fitzgerald's about to, his hip's going to break any day now. He's old. He's about to retire. So you're not giving him a receiving core. You're giving him no guys with breakaway speed in Arizona. Johnson.
Well, didn't Colin also say the Jets?
Yeah, but the Jets, again, you're going to move to New York. You're going to move to cold weather. I don't think Tony's going to do that. I mean, if it's a trade, he's going to have to. But they're saying and they're reporting that he's going to have a say in where he gets to go. Meaning Jerry will say, guess what? I got this offer on the table, this offer on the table, this offer on the table. Where do you want to live the next 3 years of your life? That's what they're going to do. I don't think he's going to pick cold weather. I mean, look at, he's played in Texas his whole, Eastern Illinois. Granted, that's, you know, okay,
he's from,
I get it.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. So he's played in warm weather his entire professional career. I do not see him finishing out his professional career when he's injury prone in cold weather. Back injuries especially don't feel good when you're playing in 40 below, you know? So if you're not of good health and you have joint injuries, bone injuries, they hurt in cold weather. There's a reason why old people move to Florida when they get older, warm weather. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to go to San Francisco and play for an up-tempo guy like Chip Kelly who wants a running quarterback with, again, no wide receivers?
If it's a trade and he chooses it, no. But I'm just thinking to myself, teams that need quarterbacks, because all the warm weather teams have good quarterbacks.
He will not. So, I'm telling you right now, I would bet my house he is not going to a team that does not have a playoff roster before he shows up. He will not go to a team that has anything less than 9 wins. I assure you. I assure you this. Because he would retire before that.
Those
Chris.
Teams don't need quarterbacks.
That's not true. The Texans need quarterbacks. The Arizona Cardinals need quarterbacks. Are you kidding me? The Denver Broncos, the defending
Super Bowl champions.
Yeah,
but the
Cardinals
are not a playoff team this year. Neither is Houston.
Indianapolis
in that division.
You're out of your mind if you think the Cardinals are not a playoff team because Carson Palmer has shit the bed. Last year, he was runner-up for the MVP. Carson Palmer shit the bed. They are suddenly not a playoff team. They're a playoff team with Tony Romo. They're a playoff team without a quarterback. They're not getting any breaks because they need a quarterback to do something. They're relying completely on Johnson. My point is Denver Broncos are a playoff team without Tony Romo. Tony Romo shows up. They are now a Super Bowl contender. The Houston Texans are a playoff team without Tony Romo. Romo shows up. They are a playoff Super Bowl contender. He will not go to a team that is not a contender.
I don't blame him, of course.
Why would you want to finish your career off struggling and getting the shit kicked out of you?
No, you don't. Obviously, you don't.
Exactly.
If he has the choice, I don't blame him. You know, honestly, what I feel like is going to happen, though, is I think Jerry Jones is going to be like, you know what? You're going to retire a Cowboy, and you're going to become our quarterback's coach. You're going to, you're to become our offensive coordinator, whatever the hell it may be. Assistant offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. Romo's then going to become an analyst. I mean, he speaks well. He'll probably get TV gigs. They'll put him in, you know, he'll go to work at the Star thing there, being a consultant for them as well as, you know, coaching staff or whatever. Romo is not done with his organization. And think about it. He's got a wife who's from there, 2 young kids, and a house. I think the best thing for Romo right now, honestly, yes, he's a competitor. Yes, he wants to play. He wants to get out there. The dude's a warrior. We've seen him play through things. I mean, this back injury, obviously, this one was debilitating. The collarbone was debilitating. But we've seen him play through, you know, the broken ribs, the punctured lungs, the, you know, the ankle things, with the last back injury. I mean, there's no questioning his toughness. There's no questioning his class and his morale after what he did the other day. If I'm Tony Romo, you know what? I'm thinking, hey, I'm 36. I've done what I need to do. I've had a very, very successful, despite the playoff wins and the things like that, because I didn't have a team around me, I have been successful in my career. what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit back, I'm going to rack in paychecks, and I'm going to help out this kid, Dak Prescott, and if I can be a part of a Super Bowl, great. At least I was part of a Super Bowl. And I think that is what he's going to do. He's going to stay with this organization, and he's going to be a long-standing member of this organization. I don't foresee him playing anywhere else. Now, I could be wrong. Usually I am. But that's just my vision on this. I think he's retiring a Cowboy, and that's it. Because I look at it from other teams' perspective as well. What other team is going to want a 36-year-old quarterback with virtually zero playoff history that is injury-prone, who has missed two consecutive seasons, so you know he's going to be rusty as hell. And, you know, what is your gamble there? Because Romo, think about it, Romo takes one hit. Romo takes one hit, he's probably in a wheelchair at this point. Okay? So why would you spend the money to go out and get a guy that's made of glass, spend that money to bring him into your organization and make all the changes and do all this, especially if you're a playoff team, when there's always that risk and that gamble that the slightest hit is going to put him out for the season? So that is why I don't.
Trevor Siemian.
Well, yeah, although Siemian hasn't been playing terribly. I mean, he's not. Don't
no,
get
he
me
has.
Wrong, he's not a franchise quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he's done enough to get Denver, as the season ended today, into the playoffs. But, I mean, it's more the fact that I think the risk-reward is a little high for teams right now in the NFL to look at Tony Romo. Yeah, they would love to have the talent. They would love to have his playmaking ability. But just the risk that you breathe on this guy the wrong way, and he's out for the season, and all of a sudden you're put in a precarious position, I don't think that they want that. So I think that Jerry Jones is going to go, you know what, Tony, you've been great. We love you. The crowd loves you. The fans love you. I love you. Here's your paycheck. You're the backup. Help out Dak. If Dak gets hurt, hey, come on in and help us out. If Dak gets a concussion or whatever it is, boom, you're the guy. But let us know. You know, because I also feel like Jerry Jones is gonna pull the wool over our eyes here. The only reason why Romo's not playing right now is because of chemistry. But, you know, I just feel like Romo is going to touch the field again for the Cowboys. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year or whatever it'll be. I just feel like this whole thing is like something that you see on a documentary movie. You know, it's something you see on, like, you know, Spike TV when they make those movies. Something's going to happen here. This Romo story is not done yet. And I just get a weird feeling about it. So we'll see. But, my thing is I think he retires as a Cowboy. And I think he retires as one of the best Cowboys in history. In my opinion.
You did one hell of a job. And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Well, we got the win. We are now 9-1.
Best record
very,
in football. Woo-hoo.
Very much the best record in football. And, you know, it's not the Tony Romo show. It's the Stars Align show. Thank you for listening.
That's
and
true.
We will see you
oh,
next
one more
week.
Thing. One more thing, Dustin. They had never beaten the Baltimore Ravens in the history of the Dallas Cowboys organization. So a second record was just snapped today as well. So, again, yeah, we'll see y'all next week. No more teams we haven't beat yet. We'll see it.